You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Magnatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang, welcome to the Thursday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show. It's good to have you with us here on 702. It's quarter to the weekend, and I hope you are well this morning. I hope that your week is wrapping up on a good note. But it's not a good day for the economy. Yeah? Remember how happy we were just the other day about the economy expanding by 1.6% in the third quarter? That strong growth was a lovely surprise, wasn't it? Construction and the mining sectors grew for the first time in more than a year, and agriculture was the star performer. But in just 24 hours, while we were enjoying the good news, thinking our economy is finally on the right path, Eskom announces another round of crippling power cuts, one of the highest levels of unplanned outages. Stage 6. Tell me, how do we keep that economic growth momentum when we don't have power for more than 10 hours a day? When this stage 6 load shedding is costing 3 billion rand a day. The very economic sectors and industries that performed well in the last quarter, in that third quarter, they need power to run their operations. And that's the impact of load shedding. You get excited about some economic growth, and that excitement is short-lived. And we can't even say, well, we'll have electricity reliability soon. It's going to take time. In that time, in this meantime, the impact on jobs, on the economy, is going to be massive. So the next time you, just like me, are happy about economic growth numbers, if we will have this again, remember, it may just be for a short while. 011-883-0702. That's how we start the 702 open line. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Are you excited about the new holiday? President Cyril Ramaphosa releasing a statement this morning explaining that because the Monday is the 26th and Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, Tuesday is now going to be a holiday. So we're going to have a holiday on a Monday and a Tuesday. Look, I am excited. I will take any day. In fact, I texted my manager as soon as that statement came, and I was like, yo, because yesterday we were busy filling our leave day forms. I was like, you saw that, right? Give me that one day. Are you excited about that? Between 10 and 11 o'clock, we're going to do our
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Hey, Clement. It's Lazarus here. Nothing to be excited about. It's been spoiled because obviously there will be a load shedding, whether it's a holiday or not. Unfortunately, it spoiled everything. We're supposed to be excited to get extra days a holiday, but unfortunately, no celebration. It will be dark. Thanks.
Yeah, and how do you enjoy the holiday when it's dark, eh? Just sitting in the dark.
Clement, in regards to the tragedy that happened on the Yuxkei, people need to remember three things. God gave you a sound mind to make sound and rational decisions. People of faith need to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And people need to remember not to put their faith in men, but to put their faith in God, which often entails rationality.
Yeah, does rationality exist when it comes to these religious leaders? Let's talk about that. Yeah. EWN was reporting this morning that Johannesburg Emergency Medical Services has recovered the body of a 15th congregant who drowned in the Yaske River at the weekend. I've honestly been avoiding this story because it really broke my heart. These congregants were swept away on Saturday during a baptism ceremony. Their pastor told them to get in the water. So EWN's reporter Veronica Mukhwali managed to track down one of the survivors. And this is what he told her.
It was raining, but the pastor said we should go in anyway, insisting that if we pray, the water will be calmer and people should not get out. But the water did not calm down. The water then rose, and some people got out, others were taken by the current. My sister was also struggling, but she was helped by her friend.
Yeah, that's what the survivor told EWN. And I want us to have an honest conversation about the responsibility and where the responsibility lies when these incidents occur. I don't want us to blame the people that have died. I want us to be sensitive to the families of the victim. But I also want us to be honest, because it's not the first time that a pastor or a religious leader tells congregants to do something, even when it's likely to cause harm to them. And then it gets done, and then there's a tragedy. And the question I'm asking you is, have we placed too much trust in pastors? In your imam or any other religious leader, that we don't question the decisions that they take, regardless of how irrational or how harmful they may be for congregants? It's just like we think, of these religious leaders as infallible, right? They can't be wrong. How dare you question what the pastor says? In that clip, this person who survived says, the pastor said we must get in the water and pray and the rain will stop. But they could see the current was strong. The congregants saw that it was dangerous to get in the water. And it could have been any of us. But we have free will. We make independent decisions. We are old enough to assess situations. But when we don't, when we're in those moments, because we trust these leaders that much. And I understand religious leaders are meant to lead us. They're meant to guide us. And we must trust their leadership. But my goodness, when they say drink petrol, eat grass, get in this dangerous river, what do you think as an adult? When these disasters hit, it's very quick to pin it on the pastors or the religious leaders, and rightly so, because they take the decisions, right? But what responsibility do you and I as adults take? You and I, who can make their own decisions. Why have we bestowed so much power on religious leaders, and sometimes even on politicians? I've spoken many times on this show about the blind loyalty we often have. Why do we sometimes surrender our agency to these people, our thinking capacity? It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Michelle, you're calling from Krugersdorp. Good morning.
Morning. I think our biggest problem is ourselves. We abdicate our responsibility, whether it's to your religious leader, whether it's to the school teacher who you expect to raise your child and instill values, and also with our government. We expect everybody else to do, and we don't want to take responsibility. With rights come responsibility, and that is where we're going wrong in this country. How can we expect someone else to do what we need to do essentially ourselves? God all gave us brains. So I seriously question people's critical thinking ability in this country, why they are abdicating their responsibilities, and why they seem to think that they do not have to step up the plate and do the hard work to do what needs to be done in their lives.
So
we've got a big problem in this country.
So what do we do, Michelle? I've been asking myself this question throughout the night, because we've got the freedom in this country and the right to make decisions, right? You've got a freedom of choice, and we don't want to live in a country that becomes a nanny state, right? It regulates, just like now in Indonesia, they're regulating sex outside of marriage. We don't want to be a country where they regulate even our beliefs, right? I want to have a choice to believe and practice my religious and cultural beliefs. But what happens when those are harmful to you? How do we protect you from you, Michelle?
Okay, I think it starts with what happens in school. We need to teach our children to think critically. This thing of saying to a child, you're not allowed to ask why, parents encourage that. If the adults don't know how, or they don't know how to think critically, this young generation that we are training in school, they need to have an understanding of why things happen a certain way. We are just too accepting of this country, of we tolerate too much SH1T in this country. Mm. We tolerate anything from 57 murders a day and then all the people that get killed on our roads, women and children and men that get raped and abused. Mm. And any other country in the world, the entire population would be out in the streets. We mumble in our little corners or by the drive. Mm. How many of us were active citizens? How many of us were actually protesting yesterday at the Gauteng Health Legislature for all the corruption that happens in the Department of Health? That affects 95% of this population go to the government services. But how many of us were there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you, Michelle. That's a good question. Thank you for calling. Michelle in Krugersdorp. You're right. We tolerate so much. Huh? Bongani was saying this morning, stage six, load shedding. And it's almost like, this is what we used to. There's no longer outrage. And no, I've spoken before that we are so desensitized to even the brutality of gender-based violence. Huh? We get angry, like, God forbid, if something happens to some child tomorrow or some woman tomorrow, we're going to get really angry, right? As talk show hosts and as people who call in on the radio station. And then what happens a week later? We move on. 300 people die during the July unrest. We get sad for a week. We move on. It's almost like we have reached the threshold. Nothing can shock us anymore. And everything else, we're used to it. Nomakuku, you're in Basonia. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Hi.
I actually omitted calling you Baba Clement because of what I'm about to say right now. It's regarding what happened at the Yaskei River. So you asked a couple of questions, you know, and I think just to answer what you've said, I'm a Christian, right? Mm. And a devout Christian at that.
Mm.
I go to church and, you know, I'm quite active in the church. So what I've seen, and not particularly, I'm not speaking particularly about my church, but I'm talking about the body of Christ in general. What I've seen is that, you know, Christians have become so complacent in terms of reading the Word of God for themselves. So you'll find that now we've put this God persona on our pastor. Anything and everything he says goes. Because we're not searching the scriptures ourselves. We're not doing it ourselves. We are so caught up in this whole, and I'm going to say it, and I know a lot of people have said we're hiding behind it. We've been so caught up in this whole prosperity gospel that that's all there is about Christianity. That's all there is about God. That's all there is about Christ. He's just there to prosper you. Mm. And that's all we want to hear. So it's enough that your pastor has told you that, you know, if you give this much in the next 3 months, you'll see a big miracle will come. So we're so caught up in that, that we've omitted and we've stopped searching the scriptures ourselves. And we've made pastors our gods. You know, that's why you have this phenomenon of pastors being wanting to be called a spiritual father. There's no such thing in the Word of God. You know, God says, Jesus actually says to his disciples, you must not call any man God except your Father in heaven. Or you must not call any man father except your Father in heaven. So we are here calling people spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers. If you're giving that, if you're giving someone that much authority over your life, rest assured they'll be able to tell you what to do
and manipulate you, and you're not going to be questioning that. Yeah, listen, Noma, thank you. If I was sitting in church and you're preaching, I would say, preach, Pastor Noma. Preach. Great contribution there from Noma. And that's how we're raised, right? Michelle spoke about the need to talk to the kids and teach them in schools. The thing is, these kids go back to communities. They go back to homes, to parents who worship their pastors, right? And as a Christian myself, I, for the longest time, lived a life told not to question anything even about my religion. Because the minute you do that, how dare you? Hey, just go, you are blindfolded. Just, what did the pastor say? Hey, what is, just, yeah, just take it, just accept it. It doesn't matter. And that's a problem we have, is whether it's Islam, whether it's the Torah, whether it's Christianity, it could be any other religion. We have somehow taken away our thinking capacity and we've placed it on our religious leaders because they know better. They are these big figures that are infallible. That's why when they say drink this, you drink it. Eat grass, you eat it. Be intolerant towards that group of people. You do it. Because how can they be wrong? And when there's disasters like this in the Yaske River that hit, we are quick to blame the pastors. And yes, we should. Right? But we need to ask ourselves tough questions about the responsibility we take. Temba in Benoni, hi.
Hi, Clement. I think we can expand the topic a little more. Because if you think about it, how many people are going to go to Devon and swim in the water that is full of poo? Just because Joseph Kaunda went to swim and said there's nothing wrong with the water. People will go there. So it's not typical of just Christians. It's typical of us as South Africans. I mean, right now we've got a group of people who are stopping these cheaper buses to run between Joburg and East London or Eastern Cape because they are prepared to shoot at and kill the drivers. And we've done nothing about those people. And we know they are taxi drivers. We know there's an association. We have not boycotted taxis.
Yeah, November. True. And I would take it further and say it's not just about us as South Africans. It's about us as societies, right? Whether it's a society in the US or in South Africa, that's what happens. We are so loyal that we blind ourselves to the realities. There's no test of rationality to whatever is proposed because that's how much power we've bestowed to our politicians, to our religious leaders. Can I suggest a book for you guys, which I read, which really changed my life? Nonkululeko Gobodo wrote an autobiography. It's called Awakened. Nonkululeko Gobodo is the first black female chartered accountant in this country. I've had her on the show before. And I had the privilege of emceeing the launch of the book, and I had a conversation with her about it at the launch a month or so ago. And there's a chapter in that book, chapter 5, where she talks about her spiritual journey. This is a person who grew up in a religious home. She used to go to church, and she got to a point where she decided she's going to find herself, and she's going to go on a spiritual journey for herself. Because for the longest time, what she did was from the teachings and the guidance of pastors. And no, she doesn't say that is not important. It's important to fellowship, right? But she says the level of growth, the level of peace that she experienced was after she took the decision to go on a spiritual journey for herself, to go seeking for answers. And she stopped to place that responsibility on the church and the pastor, or in your case, it may be on any other religious institution. And she says, I decided to go on this journey myself and seek the truth. And she says that was the best decision she's ever taken in her life. And she goes into detail about what she did and her relationship with God transformed in a way that even surprised her. And that's when she took the decision that I'm not just going to listen to the pastor, just listen to the church. Yeah, I'll go, but I'm going to go on my own journey. And maybe that's what we need. It's just after 9:30. More of your calls on 011-883-0702. Maditi, Mohammed, Philip, I see you. I see your WhatsApps as well. We'll get to them after this.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 23 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's start with your WhatsApp voice notes and then your calls.
Thank you, Mr. Clement and the 702 listener. One thing I also believe is that Christianity or religion did not come to take our brains away from us. Most of us want our pastors or our religious leaders or whatever to think for us. But whatever the pastor asks you to do, you know, it's going to endanger your life. You want to do it. Does it mean that our brain has been taken away from us?
Morning, Clement. On the issue of the drownings at this church, grown-ups really sometimes struggle to understand how they think. God also gave us an ability to think rational and make informed decisions, right? In as much as there was loss of life, I honestly don't have much really, I struggle to have sympathy around some of these people. The only people that I really feel sorry for is the kids, the babies that had no choice in deciding whether they want to go to this water or not. But for the adults and the pastors and whoever, the senior people in this church, I don't know whether I really feel anything. It's really sad for the young people that would have lost their life in this situation.
Yeah, it is sad. But I don't want us to spend too much time also just calling out what happened and expressing outrage. What are the solutions? What do you think needs to happen? Because I'm not sure I think regulating people's beliefs and religious and cultural practices is going to be the answer. And I don't have the answers, but I want us to have a conversation about how do we change this? Because it's a trend. It's a phenomena. It's been there. It's not something that started now. It's not a trend that just started now. How do we change our relation to our religious leaders, to our political leaders, so that we avoid incidences where they say one thing and we jump to whatever they say. And then when there's tragedy, we're quick to blame them and we forget to ask ourselves tough questions about what responsibility we take. Timothy in Pretoria, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Clement. You know, I think when we go to the mountains and, you know, the rivers, you know, for a lack of a better word, I'm going to use the word positive. We are possessed and we can't even think originally. I'll tell you what, I used to actually go to, you know, when you drive in Maopane Highway, there's a hill. We used to go there and pray every day. But after all the accident that happened to the car and everything, you know, and also warning people not to go there, I don't know, something just clicked in the mind just to say, what was I thinking for me to, you know, to put my life in that danger? Mm. And now that you're actually talking about it, it now, you know, it still sits in the back of my mind to say, what was I thinking to put my life in that, you know, danger? The solution, Clement, is all the pastors that are running churches, they must go to school, because most of these pastors, they don't have degrees. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, that's where the problem is. I mean, there's a president in somewhere in Africa that decided to close all these churches where the pastors didn't actually have degrees.
Mm. Yeah, and I wonder if education is what's going to be the answer. Do you get where Timothy is coming from here? I don't know if... I mean, there are pastors that have got degrees. You know, there are pastors that are educated, right, who still will come and expect the congregation to do something. Yeah? There are pastors who tell their congregants to stop taking HIV medication. And they are learned. Yeah? They're educated. Hmm? They'll say, oh no, you are healed, my daughter. Stop going for your cancer treatment. Because to them, that's how faith operates. Huh? Yeah, what do we need to do? Daphne in Sakani, what do you think?
Hi, Clement. I say they have lost the plot. The name is Umfundisi Omuruti, which means is to teach. Mm. So they have moved away from teaching the word of God to become motivational speakers. Mm. So they know what people want to hear, Clement. They know that people are vulnerable. People are very, 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 very disappointed, or they've lost hope. Some of them, they don't even hold a Bible. They don't even go to the Bible verses, you know. This is where our problem is. Muruti umfundisi is to teach the word of God. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Daphne in Sakani. Philip in Soweto, hi.
Morning, Clement. I think we should be very, very careful when we treat scripture, you know, referring to the book of Timothy, which would say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, by rightly dividing the word of truth. Because much as the Bible is saying rightly, we can wrongly divide the word of truth, and in terms of misinterpreting the scriptures. For instance, if you look into a father or a pastor is a father in a true sense of scripture. Because when Jesus said, do not call anybody pastor or a father, he contextually was referring to Pharisees, you know. In the book of Jeremiah, he says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, who are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. So now these people that are playing games, we cannot refer to these people as pastors, because it's an insult to us as a church. And again, another thing that we should avoid is generalization. Because today, Clement, there are pastors who are doing good work, who are looking after people, who are feeding people, who are doing great things. And there are these jokes that we call, those people are not pastors. These are what we call false brethren, you know.
No, so and you're right. Mr. Philip, you're right. We mustn't generalize. And I don't think I've heard anyone yet who's generalizing. I think it's clear there are pastors out there who are legit. There are imams out there who are legit religious leaders who care about the congregation, who follow the Bible. But equally so, there are people who are exploiting this, right?
Absolutely.
Who are taking advantage of the congregation. And I think, because we expect pastors to be good, right? We expect politicians to also do what is right. So when people start deviating, we need to focus on that. And that's why now we're focusing on these bad apples, because you and I, Mr. Philip, we know of some relatives of ours. We know of some neighbors of ours who have somehow suspended their thinking capabilities, and they are going to these fathers. And I agree with you that, of course, you know, you can call your pastors. I mean, there are people who call them father. My only issue is, for some people, as soon as they say, oh, you are my spiritual father, that person assumes a different kind of authority over their lives. That, oh, because he's spiritual father and not just the biological father, therefore they've got higher authority, and that's why I must respect whatever they say without questioning it.
May I challenge you on that one?
Sure.
A spiritual father, do you know, in a true sense of the matter, even scripturally, he's got more authority. He's even more powerful than your own biological parent. How do I say this? There are things, okay, your father or your dad or your parents, they are able to educate you, maybe take you to the university, do wonderful. But there are things that they cannot, they don't have a grace to take you to. For instance, to pray so that God's favor is upon your life and you begin to see your life changing greatly. So now, like the problem is, this spiritual father thing has been dented.
True.
And I do understand it has been dented by the fact that people were taking advantage of other people. And lastly, in terms of this thing that we call deliverance, Clement, scripturally, there's nothing like deliverance, because we must be able to differentiate between deliverance and setting, casting out demons. Deliverance, scripturally, it's what we call salvation. You know, and if we talk about deliverance, like people are falling on the ground, the purpose of people when they go to church, the purpose, it shouldn't make people to fall on the ground and to be given water. That's not church. That's not Christianity.
Yeah. We're out of time, but quickly, Mr. Philip, you know, that's I find that so interesting, because I have fallen before. I was telling Bongani back in the day, you know, when I was new, you know, and I'm a Christian myself, right? And when I accepted the Lord in the beginning, I've been prayed for and I fell. And Bongani asked me, what did you feel? And I don't know. The pastor didn't push me, but it's almost like you are hypnotized, right?
Yeah, you're correct.
To think,
you're
because correct. This is what you see in the church every day, right? The pastor puts
you're
the,
correct.
And then you fall. So when the pastor comes to you, it's like, oh, the expectation is you must fall. And then, oh, you know, you fall as well. It's like you are hypnotized. And my problem is, especially for the new believers, is they believe that. They think that is okay. And it's only later on that some people are able to tell the story. But some people, unfortunately, like what we've seen in the Yaiske River, are not there to tell the story.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's high time that, Clement, we get genuine people that will be able to go out. For instance, Clement, how do you know that these people are scalems and so this? First and foremost, they'll be demanding money. And they'll be putting a price. And number two, kufana no palaza, Clement. Abantu, people are not going to church for gutpa palaza or ba poor month. The purpose of church or ministry is to teach the word. Christ is to bring comfort and to build people.
Yeah. Philip, Philip, thank you. Thank you for your call. I'm out of time, but I appreciate great contribution there from Philip in Soweto. I'll take more of your calls. Maditi, Stephen, Soli, Peter, Pastor Hector, Tlochi, I see you. Muhammad, we'll get to you after this.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
9 minutes before 10 o'clock. Jackie on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, a personal relationship with God is key for every Christian. Most pastors have been allowed to exert undue authority over humanity, and this is because of ignorance on the part of the church. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The only cure to this mess is a personal relationship with God by the world and the Holy Spirit. And that's true, Jackie. The minute you stop placing that reliance on the pastors and you have your personal relationship with your God, that's the beginning. Muhammad, you're calling from Pretoria. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin, and to your listeners. I actually want to talk about it from an Islamic perspective.
Yes.
You know, from an Islamic perspective, if the imam says one, it's not as though you're not allowed to say two. You have all the right to say two. The imam can be a spiritual leader, a spiritual guide, but he is not everything. You know, if he says drink water, you got to ask him, why am I drinking this water? What benefit is it going to bring? If there is no benefit from it, you know, and he just says no because I said it and that's the way it is, trust me, that place has no place in the community, in society. And the best part of it all is that if the imam does something of that sort, you know, the community themselves will actually get rid of him from that community.
And that's the environment we need. Muhammad, thank you for calling about that. Yeah, you need an environment where you can question the pastor, you can question the imam. Just because they're saying it doesn't just make it gospel truth. And you can't ask, but why are we doing this? And we're not asking those questions a lot. Cynthia, good morning. You're calling from Sandringham. Hi.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Clement, a vital, absolutely vital program that you're having. I feel that human beings are really inclined to believe what they want to believe, and we just throw out things that we don't want to. And I think for that reason, from a very early age, when parents lay down rules for their children, there must be a logical reason for it. You know, not just I'm bigger than you, so you know, you do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
I think it must come from the home. It must be carried on in the school. That if you say something, you must give a reason for it, and it's very difficult. But how else can you run a life or a society where people act purely on emotion?
Yeah.
You know, there's a place for emotion as well. But if we're going to run a country or party or whatever it is, we must have sound, understandable reasons that we give.
Absolutely. Cynthia, thank you for the contribution. Absolutely agree with that. Stephen in Johannesburg, what do you want to say? Hi.
Clement, morning. I see everyone is attacking the pastors in terms of telling people what to do. But Clement, rivers, mountains, caves, those are spiritual areas, and they've got spiritual gods there. They're owners of those places. That's why you find all different spiritual groups going there for baptism, cleansing of bad luck or whatever. People go to rivers and mountains for those types of activities. So there are rules before you go there. You have to abstain from sexual activities 2 weeks prior to going there. You cannot go to a river coming straight out of a funeral or from the cemetery. There are rules, and when you go there without following those rules, you are angering those spirits. That's why people are drowning in those areas. It's very rare, Clement, that you can hear of a group of friends going out to swim and drowning. But it's always people seeking some spiritual activities in those areas that are always drowning. Remember earlier this year, there were like 5 people in Amanskara drowned. They were going for prayers there. It's always people seeking these spiritual things in those areas that are facing these bad situations afterwards. But you just don't go there.
All right, Stephen, thank you. Stephen says, yeah, these are spiritual places, and you've got to understand, I suppose, that context, he says, before you go to avoid being in danger. Pastor Hector, what do you want to say? You're in Kempton Park.
Yes, Clement, how are you?
I'm all right. How's it?
I'm good. You know, Clement, as I was saying to your producer, it's a two-pronged responsibility. Congregants are responsible. Shepherds are also responsible. The Bible says a good shepherd knows his sheep and he takes care of his sheep. And members should not eat both the meat and the bone. They should be able to separate for themselves what is the meat and what is the bone. And many times we find ourselves in situations such as this because we just, as members sometimes, we blindly submit to the authority given to pastors by God in many instances. But truth be told, we should be able to apply our discretion and be able to distinguish between the truth and the lie.
That
is my take, that accidents such as this can be easily be avoidable if pastors can also be accountable to some council, some authority in South Africa. We have people, I like your last caller who said that not everyone around here is a pastor. There are people who are there for survival reasons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pastor Hector in Kempton Park, thank you for your contribution. Someone on Twitter sent me a poster. It says worship conference, special prayers with Pastor M.S. Dudeli to see God in heaven, 20,000 rand. I mean, really? Huh? There's a picture of the pastor there. But to cancel all your debts, 5,000. I don't know how true this is, but it's circulating. A lot of you are sending it to me on Twitter. But the reality is, this is the stuff that happened. And as much as it shocks you and me, there's somebody who sees this and is going to go in debt to get the 20,000 because, oh, this pastor is somehow going to help you see God in heaven or help you cancel all of your debts.